Well, hello everybody. This is Father Nathan. I am overjoyed to be back with you again. Thank you for coming. For those of you who are here for the first time, this is our Eagle Eye Pro webinar, and we do these once a month. I do plan on doing them a lot more frequently than once a month. That's the good news. Once we can beef up a little bit what we're doing, but right now we are so busy doing great things for God all over the place that the Eagle Eye Pro is we're planning for the future for it. So these webinars will continue to increase over time. I am happy to speak with you because I just finished our teen Eagle Eye. That's why I look a little bit tired. I was up late last night and early this morning doing God's work in Ohio, where we had no fewer than 45 teenagers, six religious, and I don't know, 15 chaperones and volunteers from all over the country participate. It was beautiful. We had teens from Alabama, teens from Michigan, from Ohio, from Pennsylvania, from Indiana. And they all came for this one very specific retreat where we preached the gospel. So we had 2 days of hiking, and then following the 2 days of hiking, we had 5 days of intensive formation where it's so beautiful. One morning, for example, the boys decided that they said, we're going to leave spiritually. So they all got up and they made their way to the chapel like 20 minutes before anybody else, so that when the young ladies got into the chapel, they found the boys all there praying. And that was very moving to them. The boys were praying the rosary. So then the girls got inspired and they got up on the last night. So even though we'd done all night adoration and then we got up early the next morning, these teenage girls all got up. And they were in the chapel chanting the Divine Mercy Chaplet again before anyone else even got there. And so that type of thing is typical at an Eagle Eye. At the closing campfire, no fewer than four of the participants actually said that they are Catholic today because of Eagle Eye. And four of them said that without those Eagle Eye retreats, they're not sure that they would still be Catholic. Four. This happened 2 nights ago. That was incredible for me, and we just finished that. So we go on from there. So we got this summer we're going to have an Alaskan Eagle Eye. You still have room to sign up for that. We're taking 18 to 35 year olds to Alaska. You actually do a 4 days. And 3 night backpacking trip, 26 miles in the Alaskan wilderness. It's really an amazing, amazing experience. And that's going to be July 12th to July 22nd. There's still room to sign up, July 12th to July 22nd. The teen Eagle Eye, pray for that, is July 14th to 22nd in at the same time, therefore, in Princeville. We'll have, I think it's about 35 teens. We'll be coming to that, and then of course the Cincinnati Summer Institute for 18 to 35 year olds. So exactly what we did with the teenagers, we do that for 18 to 35 year olds too, and that's in Cincinnati this year, August 4th to August 12th, and we're still accepting applicants. So really want to just celebrate that with you, celebrate what we're all about, and give you some good news. Because we really changed lives. One young woman actually at this Eagle Eye announced to everybody that she was entering the Apostolic Sisters of St. John in the fall. And so she's applied and she's going to be a sister. And she found her vocation at Eagle Eye Ministries about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. She made her first Eagle Eye and she's been involved ever since. And she's finally been able to pay off her debt. And now she's actually going to become a sister. So she made that announcement. It's just the type of thing that happens that we're really excited about. All right. Well, I've been babbling long enough. I'd like to get into God's word. First, I'm just going to change this light. It's a little bit strong here. Here we go. And now I got this weird line that'll cross over. So I'll just turn it more this way. There we go. You're actually in my office here at the Eagle Eye Center for Innovation. So this is where it all happens. Let's go ahead and begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, O Holy Spirit, Father of the poor. Illumine the hearts of thy faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy spirit, and they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who didst instruct the hearts of thy faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us in the same spirit to be truly wise, and ever to rejoice in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Saint John, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so just one quick thing here is on the GoToWebinar platform, you have that long box. And if you look at it, I'm able to see if anyone raises their hand or if they have a question or if anyone is inattentive. So like Amanda Rowetter just went over into a different screen. I can see because it says that she's now looking at a different screen. So I won't look at those. You can be attentive if you want to multitask. That's fine. But just to let you know, that's how that works. And so if you do have a question, you could always just click on the attendees or raise your hand, and I'll be able to see that. Don't worry, though. I won't be looking over there because I'll be looking at my camera. So if you do raise your hand, be patient because I'll have to look. I want to meditate with you on the task of evangelization, and by doing a commentary with you on a passage that a lot of people have struggled with over the years. This is Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42, 38 and following. So the end of Luke 10. Let's read it together. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her." Well, this is, of course, a Bible passage. You might say, what does this have to do with evangelization? And I'd say it has a lot to do with evangelization. And why? Because our Lord himself is the model of evangelization and the first evangelizer. So when you see our Lord walking and ministering and doing things, you're seeing evangelization modeled in its perfection. He is the word that the Father spoke to this sad world. And all of our words that we speak at Eagle Eye Pro or from the pulpit or wherever in counseling with your souls, whatever it might be, all those words are actually secondary compared to his words. They're just echoing the word that is Christ. And so everything that Christ does speaks to us of evangelization. And so I want to take this passage, first of all, instead of looking at the typical thing of Martha and Mary, we're going to get there. But I want to look at this as Christ who is evangelizing by being at the home of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciple were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. First point of this is that Christ received the hospitality of homes. This is a very practical kind of point, both for the evangelizer like myself. Whenever I travel, I always choose to stay in homes. It's very, very rare that I'll be in a hotel. And when people offer me hotels, I almost always try to stay at home, even though it costs me some quiet time, it costs me some focus, it costs me some rest. But what I gain out of it is that I came to evangelize, and I'm actually going to be able to preach more deeply to that family that I'm with than if I was just to give a talk at a conference. So now I'm actually going to give a more deliberate and deep and profound message. Now, I put that to you. Do you yourself allow yourself to create relationships with people that can be fruitful? A lot of people today are angry. They're angry at the culture, they're angry at the politics, they're angry at the church, they're angry at what's going on in their society, and they want to do something about it. But a lot of us think we can do something about it differently than the way that Christ did. We think we can do something about it by, I don't know, some sort of church program or going on some sort of trip or I don't know what. Where when Christ wanted to do something about what was bad in the world, he went to someone's home. He spent time and invested in that relationship. And from that house, yes, he preached because everything is necessary. It's necessary to have talks, it's necessary to do podcasts and webcasts. But Christ also did those things from a basis and a center of relationship with people. And so one of the key points in how you evangelize a fallen away sister-in-law, or a fallen away brother, or a fallen away son or daughter for that matter, is to remember this line. Truth or love is the bridge that truth walks across. Love is the bridge that truth walks across. We have the truth. We know we've got it. What we're missing is the bridge. So I've got me and I've got them and I've got me with all this fire inside of my heart, right? And then they are on the other side and they're just like, and we're like, the problem is them. That's what you end up saying. If only they. And so moms, you like trap your grandkids in the car and then you just pummel them until they're just there, you know. You've got the holy card and the rosary and the holy water, and it's like, but there's no bridge. So you're evangelizing them from the outside, but not from the inside. True love is the bridge truth walks across. If you created a bigger bridge and a stronger bridge, every little bit of your truth would go right into their hearts. And this building of the bridge is done by sharing something in common. That's a practical piece that takes the next. How do I build a bridge with a work member? I put something in common. I share something with them that they share with me. So putting things in common, it could start with football teams. It could start with the weather. I mean, it could start with, but like if you actually share about that and you can get them somehow to actually share with you, you've started to build a bridge. And that rapport, when it's deliberately built, called love. Loving that person in truth will allow your words to effectively penetrate their hearts. Right? So, when I remember that, I see Christ doing this. Jesus and his disciples were on their way, so they're on their way. They're moving, and they came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. So, he was on his way, and he stopped in order to be with Martha. The flip side of that is that Martha actually was being hospitable to an evangelizer. Second way for you to evangelize. Number one is like Christ to actually go and spend time and build that bridge and then eventually be able to have the deep conversations. But the problem with so many of us is that we don't set the hook. If you were a fisherman, you would just be out there and then you'd be angry because the fish bit and he left. You got to let the hook set. You have to actually have a commitment to that person. And the more that you're committed to that person, the more powerful your words become. But on the flip side of that, here's Martha. She's got a home. What does she do with it? She invites Christ. She opened her home to him. What a beautiful act of service. And I can tell you, as a traveling preacher, the beauty of the hospitality that I've received, it's enough, it just really, really touches me personally, but it's just astounding what people do. Sometimes people will come to me and they'll say, "Father, I don't know. Nobody loves God anymore." And I just shake my head. I'm like, no. People really love God. I'm convinced of that because of the way that they've treated me in his name. It's really so beautiful. And I say that to you to witness that other people are doing it. Being hospitable and practicing hospitality here is something that Christ chooses to enjoy. And every time you offer hospitality to someone, it's Christ that you're serving. Some of you, we all know we're supposed to be serving the poor, but not many of us really do. The best that you see are people that have like sandwiches at the hand of the guys at the end of the freeway who are saying, wanting work and you give them a sandwich. That would be like halfway a saint, if you did that, right? Because we all want to be with the homeless shelter, but we only go there once a year around Christmas, So like, let's just kind of like cut that down and look at it seriously and say, what's something I can actually do? Well, number one, you could donate to Eagle Eye Ministries, but your local homeless shelter right here. You got your famous homeless mug right here. You donate to Eagle Eye. But beyond all that, what can you do? You can open your home in hospitality. Here's some, and when you do that, you're not doing it just for that person. You're doing it for the Lord. Now, what if you, when you're talking with your spouse and they're like, "Oh, I don't know. We don't want people in our home," stop and be like, "Everything we do to the least of our brothers, we do to Christ. Don't we want Christ in our home? Christ is in his poor." So who needs our hospitality? Who are they who are in need? They are in poor, in poverty for the love of Christ that we can give them, honey. Why? Because we have couches. We have couches. We have carpeting. We've got a table and we have time. Let us one day a month or one day a quarter or one day a year offer hospitality to Christ. Because here he's on his way and Martha, the saint, opened her home to him and Christ received her love and received her hospitality. Evangelization. I could just tell you can do things with your home that I can't do with my church. What can you do with your home? You can play cards. I mean, especially if you're a young dad, I mean, wow, you will have every young dad in the church coming. I know one parish where the priest actually revitalized his parish by just having card nights. And for men's card nights, women's card nights, whatever you want to do. But you can do card nights. You can do when you when the you can tell Father, when someone needs something, like if a woman has lost a child and they need someone to show love, call me. And you just be the house of love. And what you do with that woman, you have soup with her and you talk with her because she needs someone that she can talk to. Everybody does. You cook in your kitchen and you bring food to that family. Father, I want to know. And for 1 week, after any woman in my parish loses a child, that woman's going to get dinner from me every day of that week. And she never has to ask anything. I just want the permission to give them dinner. I'm going to cook it. Why? Because I have a stove. See, that's that hospitality. There in the gospel, we're seeing Christ blessing that. My friends, I just really want to encourage you. This is the spirit of Eagle Eye Ministries here. You're not being creative enough. We really want to make a problem, or really want to make a solution in our world today to the problems that are out there. I'm telling you, become more creative about it. You can do it. Creativity, it looks like saying not what should I do, what's the way to do it, and saying what can I do? And I'm here to tell you that if you cooked for a woman who lost her child, you would do so much to keep that soul in the church. You would do miles of good. Whenever we go outside of the comfort zone and save up money and send someone else on a pilgrimage, you're like, "I don't want to go on pilgrimages. We've done all the pilgrimages. I don't like to travel." Well, that's fine. I know a guy, for example, every day when he comes home from work, he throws his money into a jar. And at the end of the year, he'll have $150 in coins just from the jar. And that becomes his spending money, and he goes on a fishing trip with it. Well, why don't we do that and say we're going to give that $150 to the youth group, you know, or we're going to give that $150, whatever the coins are at the end of the year, and I want to send somebody somewhere to change their life. Creativity, it's amazing. And when you do that, you open yourself up. Martha had to become creative. I don't know, maybe she would didn't like her house, maybe her house wasn't the nicest one. I don't know. She opened it to Christ. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Okay, so just as you have Christ who's working and who receives help in his work from Martha, so you have Christ who is speaking and teaching and receives help from the listener. So here you have another flip side to evangelization here. Not only does Christ go and spend time with people, but Christ also speaks. Now, here's a beautiful light for us. Where in my life am I speaking? I have heard too many times that quote that people attribute to Saint Francis of Assisi that says, preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words. The reason why I've heard it too many times is because it's oftentimes an excuse. Meaning, I know people that since they preach the gospel always, they never use words. It's like they never, you, when was the last time you told someone how awesome Mass is and that you found the greatest parish in all of North Carolina? If you're in North Carolina, you found the parish. When was the last time you invited someone into that church? You need to. You need to. What? Not all the time, but at the same time, sometimes. Why? Because our Lord did not just live in the house and share the experience. Our Lord also spoke and he taught. So that's kind of like a neat sign inside the relationship, just that, like when you're inside the house. Like our Lord was with Martha. Inside of that relationship, you can then and you must bring truth. How do I bring truth? Well, here's a few ways. Number one, do not capitulate. When people make bad jokes, don't laugh. When people put down, you know, religious leaders, don't laugh. When conversations go sour and become sordid with all kinds of references to activities that are sacred and should be treated with respect, well, maybe leave the room. I mean, you don't have to participate in that kind of stuff. When gossip is happening, you know, change the subject. There's ways where you can, without even saying it, still say it. And that silent proclamation is called leadership. And you know how this works. There's like a law in this type of business stuff, right? It's like called a bell curve. And in a bell curve, you go up to a tipping point. And once you hit the tipping point, like let's say it's 18%, once you hit 18%, the next 36% will go with that 18%. And the other 18% will never change. So you're never going to win over 20% of them. But if you win over the first 20%, then you're going to win over the next 60. That's kind of how it works. It goes 18 to 36, 36 to 36. So you have your early adopters, then you've got the people that you win, then you got the people that are won because everybody else is doing it, and you have the people that'll never do it. So 18, then whatever that is. I've lost my math. 36, 36, 18. Okay, so well, if you think about it in terms of that bell curve, that's exactly how these things work. You need to get up to a certain point and then you get the whole kit and caboodle. Well, in the same way, those people that are laughing at that stuff and doing that stuff, they're not really enjoying it. They're good people too. They're only doing it because everybody else is doing it. And everybody else is only doing it because a few cool people are doing it. I mean, we say that's for the teenagers, right? But like we know it's true for us too. I want you to be one of those cool people. Because if one of the cool people didn't do it, if anybody didn't do it, they'd become the leader of that next 18%. You see, of the people that just are like, yeah, that's kind of dumb. And then you found your friends also to whom you can speak truth to. First way is to not compromise. Second way to speak truth in your social settings is remember this adage, where there is love, there is God. Where there is love, there is God. My really bringing my integrity into my relationships and my dedication to the people around me will open their hearts. Remember that love is the truth, is the bridge truth walks across. Well, am I actually speaking from who I really am? Authenticity. So I don't compromise. And the second thing, I ask people how they're doing, and I mean it. And I ask people what they think about things, and I mean it. And I remember their names and where they're going and what they care about, and I follow up with them. Third way is to engage in a deeper conversation. And that's, of course, where it goes from there. My point is to say that Christ spoke, and so do we. If you have not invited someone to a religious event, invite someone, give someone a free month subscription to Eagle Eye Pro. Cost 10 bucks. Why not? What do you got to lose? Who's going to turn that around and say, hey, I thought of you. There's this monk I know, and I'm going to, why don't you listen in? It's for 10 bucks. Buy it for your kids. You don't have to do anything. Someone else did the work for you, and yet you just opened up a field of conversation. I want you to watch this one video. It's worth $10 to watch one video. It's absolutely worth $10 to do this. You watch. Let's watch. I want you to watch this. Tell me what you think. I'm just curious. I have questions myself, and I just would love to talk to you. Can we explore together? Oh my gosh, great opportunity. These are all very soft ways to build that rapport. Where there is love, there is God. Speak out of love. And I think that I could give you one last way. Look for moments of importance in people's lives and don't miss that opportunity. Weddings, funerals, graduations, kids' events, anniversaries, birthdays. Why not do something on those days that actually bears witness to Christ? I don't know, a prayer card. How about saying, I actually prayed for you on this day? Not just that I'm going to pray for you, because that's kind of glib, but actually that I prayed for you. I prayed an hour for you. You put that in there. It sparks conversation, but also you've just spoken and you just told that person the truth. Jesus did that. The second side to that is that Mary evangelizes and shows evangelization by listening. Now, this is a true story, and one of our apostolic sisters shared with me, and I think it's kind of neat. She said that she herself didn't feel like she had a gift to speak, but she knew that the brothers of St. John, that's my order, the brothers of St. John, you know, that were near her, that they did have that gift. So she said what she would do, she said, I would go to the crowd, wherever brothers were giving a talk, and I would just listen as attentively as I could. So that the brother, when he was looking out over the crowd, could sense, could see, maybe feel, I don't know, but could see the interest and the thirst that I had. And that would allow him to give the best of his talk to everybody else. So she would actually go there with the mission to create the milieu for the communication of God's word by her own attentiveness and disposition. I've never heard anybody else say that. That's why I'm sharing that story. That's an Eagle Eye Pro exclusive. But like, isn't that beautiful? And you say to yourself, well, what can I do? You can listen to the Father's homily without yawning and make eye contact with him and smile. This is Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. It's like being able to show appreciation to an apostle for their teaching encourages that teaching. And also being listening in an active way allows Christ's words to actively take root. Meaning if you become impacted by what is said by God and his holy word, well, God's word has run its course and borne its fruit in you. And so the challenge to let that happen, to open yourself up and to really say, am I really listening? I'll give you a spot where this, you know, a lot of people today get really distracted by church politics. They're really distracted by what Pope Francis is doing, by what Cardinal Burke is doing, by what Fine. I mean, like, if you need to know that stuff, great. But, like, for most of you, it's a huge distraction because we walk around feeling bitter or angry or upset about things we have no control over. Meanwhile, Christ in his Bible, and Christ in his readings at Mass, and Christ in his teachers, Fulton Sheen, what a teacher, Bishop Barron. I mean, you got so many terrific people out there teaching. They're ignored. Well, let's instead say, okay, Christ, I'm going to evangelize by letting myself really be hit by the message. What is that message? It's the message that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever might believe in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Now I'm going to let that sink in, like Mary. So if you see here, you have two forms of evangelization, and both of them being supported by Martha and Mary. First form of evangelization, being on the way, being on the mission, need hospitality, care. And Jesus receives it. Martha gives it. In the same way, the second form of evangelization, teaching. And what is needed? Listeners, receivers, people who allow themselves to be impacted. And I think it's interesting, who show Christ that they're being impacted. When was the last time you thanked your pastor? If you want better homilies, tell him his homilies are great. Tell him that his bad homilies are great. Father, thank you so much. Your homily is so beautiful, and I just love listening to you. Now, you don't want to lie, so you got to say it in a way that's still true, but like if you encourage your preacher, they will preach better. It's just the truth. Anyway, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. That's the problem. It's not that Martha was doing preparations that was the problem. It was that she was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. So it's cool too because it speaks to it about it in the future. So she's distracted by all the size of the preparation, the tasks that had to be made. All the things that could have happened that needed to happen in the future. It's neat to dissect this. The problem is not that Martha was active. The problem is that Martha was distracted in her activity from the present gift. Now, if I think about this, I could talk about examples from the priesthood, and I will, but I want to bring up an example from your home lives. It's that song from Fiddler on the Roof. Sunrise, sunset. Sunrise, sunset, right? Swiftly flow the years. And there he is, his little daughter's going off with the Russian, and he just realizes his life has gone out in front of him. You guys have chosen, so many of you, to walk the path of marriage and found families. You want to for others. So many of you have done that path and you forget the beauty that's there. Your spouse is an absolute treasure from Almighty God for you. Your children are the reason you do everything that you do. Do you take the time, amidst all the preparations that need to be made, to still enjoy those things? This is the essential. It's not that you're going to be busy. It's not that you have to work. That's not a problem. Martha had to do that. That was her gift. Christ needed that. Otherwise, there'd be no meal. Have a bunch of Marys sitting at his feet, and Christ would starve. I mean, it's great, but like in the end, like oh, I really would like a salmon, with little capers on top, But that's, and yet the problem was that Martha got distracted. And I think that that's the case for so many of us. We lose our focus of the great things that are happening because we're so dang busy worrying about all the things that we need to do to make those great things happen. And from appreciation of nature to appreciation of children, for the singles who are in the audience, tonight watching this, it's the same thing. You guys have health, you guys have beauty, you guys have money for many of you because you're single and it's like you're paying off your debt. Well, that's a great thing. You guys have so many things in your stretch of your hand, within your reach, you have the ability to drink wine on your back porch and watch the sunset. You have a little dog, and we lose track of all of those things. And Christ is speaking to us, and all we end up thinking about is all the things that we should be doing in order if one day we would listen to Christ. It was like one of the best spiritual direction advice that I was ever given. It was when I was about 22. I was teaching high school. I had my own apartment, and there I was. And in order to pray, I like my things to be clean, so I would have to clean my apartment in order to pray. And so I would spend so much time cleaning my apartment that I ran out of time to pray. And so I went to see my spiritual director. I said, Father, like, I love it when I vacuum and all those lines in the carpet are perfectly paralleled, you know, and the carpet is like kind of clean, you know. By the time I've done it all and I'm ready to kneel down and start to say my prayers, I just lay down on the carpet and I fall asleep, you know. And his best advice, he said, don't clean first. Pray in a messy apartment. And I think that that's exactly what so many of us have to do. We have to do the work. But my friends, pray and appreciate and live. Don't lose the track. The problem with Martha is that she was distracted by the things she had to do. Not that she had to do them. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Again, look at the exaggeration. All the work by myself, right? Like I said, there's a lot of emotion going on here with old Martha. And that don't you care, right? Haven't you noticed is another one. It's like, I mean, she's in a bit of a tizzy here. And I think that's interesting, you know, because we can get so worked up, she's even forgetting that she's talking to Jesus. She doesn't like bow to the ground and say, oh, master, answer me a question. She says, listen, don't you care? She's mad. And her anger distracts her even more. She's distracted by what she has to do, and then she's distracted by her anger about that. And how beautiful this is, because how many times this happens to us, right? I know people who quit volunteering at church because they're sick of being the only one. That, my friend, is Martha. That, my friend, is you are Martha right there. I'm tired. I've been doing that for so long, and no one ever does it. So we're just going to stop. You know, well, I mean, hang on. You know, what if that was the call, and what if you could find Christ in the work? Maybe the problem isn't the work, it's finding Christ in it. I don't know, but whatever it is, Martha's distraction pushes her to get a correction by our Lord. 41. Martha, Martha. First of all, I think it's neat that our Lord calls her by name. He knows her, he values her, he loves her, and even repeats her name twice. He doesn't say, Banshee, you know, you flying Banshee, get ye away, ye woman. You know, no. He says, Martha, Martha. He connects with her again. Love is the bridge truth walks across. Martha, he said. Martha. Connection. You are worried and upset about many things, Mary, but one thing is needed. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the better part and will not be taken from her. So what's he saying is that, yes, there is a better part. And yes, the better part is the contemplative life. Yes, the better part is sitting at his feet and listening. It is. And yet at the same time, the problem is that Martha has forgotten that one necessary thing. She's been so busy about everything she needed to do that she wouldn't even be able to enjoy the reason why she was doing it. And so what does it teach us about evangelization? It teaches us that in the work of evangelization that we have to do, we must never lose sight of the fact that our evangelization is impacting people. That our ministries, our parishes, our youth groups, our whatever you're doing. I mean, some of you do health stuff with people and dietation too. You don't lose the fact that what you're doing is a love affair between your heart and Christ. That he is using your parenting and your coaching and even your work leadership. He's using that in order to draw you to his heart. The goal is that Everything that we do in this world is a big sandcastle, and it'll be knocked down. What will remain is this: the love of Jesus Christ for me and my love for him. And if I have that love, well, then I am a rich man. And though the labors stay, though the labors of raising children, of teaching, and I will not lose my focus. The one thing that's necessary is the first thing. And I nail that one thing. And then I take care of the rest. Evangelization requires, therefore, that perspective. What is it all about? It's about time spent with Jesus and about love given to Jesus. So how do I do this? I'm going to finish with practicalities and I'm going to open up for questions. I actually see there's a question posted. So if you have questions, feel free. You can start to type them in because I'm going to stop and ask for a question. And you can, you know, you put them in the, I think you do them, some sort of question thing. And if you need to, you could type your message in as a chat. But it'd be best if it was sent as a question. And I'm going to finish here with this practicality. So how do I stay in that perspective? You stay in that perspective by moments where you stop doing all of the preparation and you sit at his feet and you love him. You cannot get around it, you guys. Sometimes so you make it too complicated. You say, I've got to go to the Adoration Chapel. And then, so to go to the Adoration Chapel, I have to get in my car. And to get in my car, I have to first do my hair. And in order to do my hair, I have to make sure that I have, you know, whatever. And so then you don't even do it. Or you do it, but it's like all distracted. What you need instead is to be simpler. Stop what you're doing and bow your head and love him from the heart. Love. I give you love. I rest my head upon your heart. St. Francis de Sales used to, at the top of every hour, his office was next to the big clock in the town square. So the clock would chime and Francis would simply put his pen down at his desk and bow his head, and he would offer the work of his past hour to God for glory, and he would beg God's blessing on the work that was to come in the next hour, and he would pick up his pen again and continue. Well, how cool to do something like that. Every hour, you bow your head and you love him. Simple. It's simple. It's just not easy, but it's simple. All right, my friends. I'd love to start to take your questions. So I've got a question here coming in, and you see what it says. And then I will unmute you, and then I'll unmute you now. See, so you're, let me see how I do this. Oh, I guess this one. And it's not working. Let's see, unmute. Yeah, unmuting you one by one. Here we go. I wonder why it won't let me do it to all. Okay, all are muted. All right, so I'll have to unmute you one by one. So I'll just do that here. While I'm doing that, please mute yourselves, everybody, because as soon as I unmute you, we'll be able to hear you laughing, hear you giggling, everything. So please go ahead and unmute yourself. And if you want to ask a question, you just unmute yourself, ask your question. Like right now, someone is breathing heavy. I could hear you. So please mute yourself. Everybody, I'm almost done here. Give me a second. Mary Pogue is unmuted. Good boy, there's a lot of you on. Okay, so somebody's making noise. It's Alexander Putzner. I love you, Allie, but you got it. There you go. Thank you. I think I keep muting. Yeah, I'm two more to go. Robert Keller is now unmuted, and Selena Garza. All right, so Alexander, I can hear you. Alexandra, Mary Pogue, I can hear you. Ben Schweiker, I can hear you. Okay, so that's Alexander. So I'm just gonna go ahead and mute you. There you go. All right, first question. I personally struggle with balancing between Mary naturally tending towards Martha. Any practical tips on keeping that in check? Well, first of all, I'd like to tell you that I've never met a single person who has told me that they are more like Mary than Martha. It's true. It'd kind of be fun. Take a little test, you know. And then anyone is just like, oh man, I just never get distracted, and I just love to sit there and do nothing in prayer all the time. Like, it just doesn't happen. People are always gonna, everyone struggles with this. So practical tips to keep that in check. Like I said, moments of prayer, number one. Number two, an annual retreat. And I really mean that, especially if you're single. A weekend a year or 5 days a year, but where you literally really spend time with him. Another great way is to read, meaning that when you're reading, you're receiving that word. Are you doing your spiritual reading? Sometimes, again, you're like, oh my gosh, I got so many activities. Well, get a good book that feeds your heart. Spiritual reading are books that when you read them, you get hungrier to pray. So I'll give you a great example. I just put it away. I would have had it up here for you. Yeah, just reach up here for you, for example. A Severe Mercy. Someone gave me this book. This is an excellent book. It's all about suffering and sorrow. You know, a story of faith, tragedy, and but this is like a classic, Severe Mercy by Sheldon Vonnegut. When you read that book, your heart wants to pray. All right. The best spiritual book I've ever read, my own personal favorite, it's called He Leadeth Me. I just put it into the chat mark box by Walter Chizek. That book is just absolutely gold. It's not even that hard, and yet it's so deep and beautiful. Another great thing is anything you get your hands on by Mother Teresa. I talked to a fella who's very active. He might actually be on this thing. I was talking to him yesterday, and he runs a radio station for a living. And he said, I just had the most marvelous thing. I drove for 10 hours in the car, and I listened to Books on Tape, a book by Mother Teresa. And I just listened to it for 10 hours. He said it was the most marvelous trip, you know? Well, it's like true that there's moments where we, Martha, we, but the thing about it is this is something that you can't replace. You absolutely just, you need to have that. If you think kind thoughts about it, you will end up becoming preoccupied and distracted about too many things, and you'll miss out growth in the spiritual life. So I hope that that's enough practical help. If not, go ahead and you know, and you know, there you go. Let me know, I guess. All right. What's any other questions, you guys? Feel free to ask. You can unmute yourself and ask, or you can type them in. All right. Looks like I did a good job then. Amanda Rowetter's asked. I'll give you just a couple more seconds. Anybody else wants to ask a question? Feel very free. Nobody else. Okay. Well, then let me finish with a little bit more spiritual food for you. What was it that our Lord was teaching Mary? What was in his heart for her? It's neat that it's not said. And I think it's indicative that it's not said. We know well what St. John writes at the end of his gospel. He says, if everything our Lord said and did were to be written down, the entire world would not be enough room to contain the books that would have to be written. And so how much of what he said and taught was never written down? Two things this shows us. The first is that he gave it anyway. And I think it's a beautiful thing to think about waste and the wastefulness of Christ in evangelization. Not everything was destined for the big crowds. And not everything was even appreciated that he did say or do. And yet he did it anyway. There's an act of love, because I think it's Jesus who was in communion with his Father and acting out of love for his Father. And therefore, nothing was wasted because everything was received by his Father. He was doing it for God. And if we do things for God, well, then, yeah, we end up wasting a lot of things. We waste opportunities, but we do it out of love, giving it away for people that might not appreciate it, for people that might not return the favor, but we do it giving it away because we're doing it with and for God. Second thing I think that this shows us is that Jesus has levels of intimacy and secrets that he shares with his friends. What does he want to share with you? And that you're too distracted by the many things that you need to do right now to hear. Our Lord's speaking to you. At the end of this podcast, why not let him speak to you? Open up your Bible and read Luke 10:38-42 again. This time, let our Lord teach you. I want to finish this with some brief updates here for you. We have a new student coming into the St. John Institute from Lapeer, Michigan. So God bless him. He's going to be joining us so that we'll have three whole students next year. Very excited about that. We do still have room. We could take on some people for the fall. So if any of you know anyone looking for their MBA or looking for this experience of prayer and formation and would like to come to the St. John Institute, I think it's the best school in the land. I'd love to have them come. Please have them contact us on the website or me personally as soon as you can. Second thing is that pray for our eagle eyes and the great things that are being done there. I just share with you a little bit of the fruit. You can imagine that's just the first of a summer full of fruit. And God be praised for his abundant blessings on us. Third thing is that we are running a business leader executive masterclass at the St. John Institute, July 10th through the 12th. Please pray for that. And if any of you are in a place of leadership in business and would like to attend, shoot me an email and I'll make sure to get you the information because I'd love to have you be able to come. All that being said, I'll finish with a prayer. Our next webinar is going to be on July 15th at 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern. 6 Central, 7 Eastern. On July 15th, I can't wait. I just love these things. I always love your feedback. Please feel free to send me any from tonight's talk. And may God bless you. Let's finish with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you and with your spirit. Let us pray. Through the intercession of Saint John and Our Lady of Fatima, may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Go in peace, my friends. God bless you, and thank you for being with us. Enjoy Eagle Eye Pro. Bye.